The book of Exodus. So, girls, I heard your message tonight, and I heard the song, and you all had no idea what the message was going to be tonight, but we know God is able, don't we? God is able, and so we're going to read Exodus chapter 6 and verse number 6. Exodus chapter 6, then we'll go to Psalms 136, and finally in Isaiah 51. Just a short passage here. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and will with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land concerning which I swear to give it to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. And I will give it to you for an inheritance, for a heritage. I am the Lord. And then Psalms, the book of Psalms, chapter number 136. Psalms 136. And Psalms 136. The Bible's speaking of God's deliverance for his people. And in verse number 10, he says, to him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. And brought Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with a what? A stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. Forever. How many of you believe God's mercy endures forever tonight? God's mercy endures forever. So Isaiah chapter 51, our final passage of scripture. Awake, verse number 9. Awake, put on thy strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake, as in the ancient days and the generations of old, art thou not it that hath cut off Rahab and wounded the dragon? Art thou not it which hath dried the sea and the waters of the great deep, and hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over? Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return, and shall come with singing into Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and mourning shall flee away. Praise God. Verse 17, awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, with a drunk at the hand of the Lord, the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of trembling, and thou hast wrung them out. Verse number 52, 1, awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For thenceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Verse number 10, the Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Praise God. Depart ye, go not from thence, touch no unclean thing. Go out ye from the midst of her, and be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. For you shall not go out with haste nor by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your re-reward. Verse 50, chapter 51, chapter 53, verse 1. And who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Let us bow our heads and ask the Lord to bless the reading of his word. Father, we pray that you would bless the reading of your most holy word. Lord, I believe that you're in this place tonight. We felt your spirit from the very first moment. Father, I pray, Lord, that the Spirit of God would move upon us and the holy angels of God would draw those here, Lord, whose hearts need to be here. Father, we pray, O God, for your blessings upon your word, that you would lift up the mighty name of Jesus and increase our faith in your grace and your mercy. For it's in Jesus' name, amen. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? So I ask you this question tonight. Who has seen the arm of the Lord? Who among us has seen the arm of the Lord? The season that we're living in is called the season of the spring. It's the season of Passover. And it's the Hebrew month of Nisan. And so In the Hebrew tradition, the word Nisan literally is the season of miracles. It's the season when God extends out himself and exposes his power and his strength to his people. And I believe in this season of our life, especially right now in this city, God is desirous to bring out his spirit and to exercise his holy prerogative upon us as his people. Because God has a plan, folks. He has a plan, and as a people, we need to ask God, God, what is your plan? Where do I fit in this kingdom right here and right now? Who has seen the arm of the Lord? Who has been revealed the arm of the Lord? You see, Passover is the season, and that's the season in this passage of Scripture. The Bible says that God told Moses, he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And God passed them by. Literally, when the angel of death was exercising itself over top of Pharaoh and the Egyptian army, God exercised his power, and through the mighty, awesome blood of the Lamb, he spared them from danger, he spared them from death, and he spared them from destruction. As I listened to the testimony of the miracles of that Pastor Jarvis was telling us this evening, the story of this couple, they hid underneath the stairway, and their entire house was blown away. And for some reason, somehow, God, through his prerogative, established his miracle. And may God establish that miracle in London right now. Jesus said, hallelujah, through Moses, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. It was not through the blood of bulls or goats, neither was it through the ashes of a heifer, but it was through the blood of the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And that's what it requires tonight. The same moment is required of us as was required of them. So we need to remember that Passover itself is a season of liberty, it's a season of miracles, and it is a season of the celebration of redemption. And not only redemption, but it's a season of God's divine relationship with his people. He was bringing them out of Egypt that he might bring them in to his fellowship. He said, I've called you to be a covenant people. I've called you to be a holy people. And I'm bringing you out to bring you in. By my blood, you're not the same person you used to be. You're not the same people that you were before. You're now not an ordinary people, but you now are a people of miracles, a people of power, a people of relationship. And you've trusted in my divine word. Can somebody say amen? God is faithful to us, folks. You see the Passover and the stretched out arm. What does it mean? So as Exodus 6 says, I will bring you out from the burden of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great acts of judgment. Here we have the picture of God's arm. So what does God's arm represent? It symbolizes God's power. It symbolizes God's promises. It symbolizes God's miraculous intervention. Who has had God's miraculous intervention in your life? There are people in this church here tonight that you have seen God miraculously enter into your life. And though nobody could understand it, I'm preaching tonight to tell you God worked a miracle. And God is ready to work a miracle right now if we will only ask him. Can somebody say amen? God is ready to work a miracle. My dad told me the story, and I'm ashamed to even tell it, Sister Marcia, but he told it about your dad. And he talked about Brother Huff. And he said God gave Sister Ethel and Brother Gene a dream about an accident. They woke up terrified that Sister Marcia was going to have an accident. You know the story better than me. And they began to pray, and they said, Lord, why did you do this? Why did you give us this dream? And the Lord spoke to Brother Gene,
And this is what he said. He said, if you will pray, it will never happen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, we don't know the miracles and the angels God has that surround those who love him. But one thing we do know is that God has a stretched out hand and a mighty arm, and he's willing tonight to exercise it for his people. Can somebody say amen? God has an intervention arm, and if we will ask him, he will do it. Listen, folks, he delivered the people from Israel, and he's willing to do it today. God's stretched out arm, what does it symbolize? It symbolizes God's strength, it symbolizes God's purpose, and it symbolizes God's potential. I said it symbolizes God's strength, it symbolizes God's purpose, and God's potential. But not only that, it exercises God's authority. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? What we need here tonight is we need exactly what the children of Israel were praying for. We need people here in this house tonight to ask God to make bare his holy arm and come down and meet our needs in London, Kentucky. Yes, we've seen a little bit of the tornado, but I'm telling you, we've seen just glimpses of his arm that have moved from around the corner. And all of a sudden, without explanation, the deliverance is there. And I believe that those moments of his arm are moments when God wishes to put forth his power and his glory and show us himself one more time. God is able to do it in Jesus' name. He's able to do it. Listen, the blood made them safe, and the arm of God united with the arm of Moses here. So the blood protected them, and the blood redeemed them and made them safe. We're protected tonight by our covenant relationship with God. That covenant relationship with God is what has protected us and why we are here. And I can't tell you the moments in my life when the blood of Jesus, sister, came to me, and God stood between me and between the enemy, and the enemy could not cross the bloodline. I said, he could not cross the bloodline. And I'm telling you, God is willing and able to help us and to give us his blood to protect us. He protected them with the blood. He protects us with the blood. He protects his people with the blood. He shelters us with the blood. He has redeemed us and called us by his name. And he says we are his covenant people. Praise the Lord. Now, the blood made them safe. But here is the mystery behind the arm of the Lord. Because God has an arm. And if you remember the Lord's Prayer, the mystery behind the arm of the Lord is this. He said, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Where? On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Listen to it. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here you have the children of Israel. They're at the edge of the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army's behind them. There's a mountain on either side. There's no way to go. They're at a dead end and there's no outlet. Regina, there's no re-entry, honey. But I'm telling you tonight that God says there is a way when there is no way, and I will make a way, a highway through the midst of the sea. And when it looks impossible to you, you've just reached the point of potentiality with me. And that's where God wants us to be in this house tonight. Hallelujah to the Lamb. But Moses had to get to the place to where he heard what God said. He heard what God said. God said, Moses, take your rod and lift up your rod over the sea. Moses didn't say, well, Lord, I'm just waiting on an answer here. Moses had to obey. And in that moment of his obedience, Moses became the arm of the Lord on earth that was matching the arm of the Lord in heaven, and he literally lived out that passage of scripture, "Thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Glory be to Jesus forevermore. If we could get this into our minds, to where we identify with the Lord Jesus Christ so much that we do exactly what we see him do in heaven, I'm telling you, God wants to work miracles on our behalf, and he wants to exercise his prerogative for his people if we will only trust the Lord tonight. Praise God. You see, what does this passage tell us? This passage tells us that God's kingdom is not just spiritual. God's kingdom is multidimensional. That means whatever God is doing in heaven, if we will carry it out right here on the earth, that there's going to be some things take place that we never dreamed would take place before. And as God spoke to Brother Huff years ago and said, if you'll pray, this will never happen, I'm telling you, Brother Huff and Sister Ethel, they prayed until God moved, and that never happened. And I'm telling you, the enemy may have a plan for your family, but I keep trusting and holding on to hope, Brother Jarvis, that though the enemy may have a plan for my family, God has another plan. And it's our job as his people to believe in the stretched out arm of God, because God can work the impossible. Can somebody praise the Lord tonight? The arm of the Lord. The arm of the Lord. You see, the arm of the Lord. Moses' arm mirrored the arm of God. And if I could get to the place to where I identify with Christ so much that my image is mirrored in his, that's the point that God will work a miracle on my behalf. There are hearts that are broken that are outside this tabernacle tonight. There are hearts that are broken that are inside. And we as a church, we are God's ambassadors. What does that mean when we're ambassadors for Christ? That means we have the ability and the authority to represent Jesus to someone else. There are needs in this community that will never be met unless we identify with Christ and take on his ministry. And as Elisha took on the mantle of Elisha, so we've got to take on the mantle of the Lord Jesus and be clothed with power from on high, to where the arm of the Lord reaches through you and I, and we become God's fingers, we become God's arm, we become the feet of the Most High God, and all of heaven pays attention, because we're here under God's authority and under God's anointing tonight. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah. You see, the arm of the Lord is an active phrase. It's not passive. And it emphasizes this fact that God has an active role in each of our lives that he plays. God's role is not passive. God's role is militant. Hallelujah. The Lamb sealed death out, but the arm sealed Egypt behind. And when Moses stretched out his arm over the Red Sea, God sent a wind from heaven. And as God sent that wind from heaven, the water parted. And they didn't walk through on muddy ground. No, sir. They didn't walk through in ankle deep water. No, no, no. They walked through on dry land because God's arm got involved. Was there an ocean there? Absolutely. But did God get involved? Oh, yes, he did. And let me preach to you tonight and tell you, folks, that if we will only trust him, God's arm is ready to work on our behalf tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is able to work if we'll but trust him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see, it's not just freedom from slavery. It's freedom for relationship. What does God's arm mean? God's arm shows us that God has a promise for us. He has got a potential for us. And God has a power for us. And the Bible, I believe, makes it clear that God stands ready to stretch out his arm for his covenant people. Now, I know the charismatics have taken this to the extreme, folks. And I believe in God's extreme. I don't believe in man's extreme, but I do believe God is a God of extremes. God does amazing things, and he wants to do amazing things for his people. There would have never been a William Carey. There would have never been a Hudson Taylor. There would have never been a David Livingston. There would have never been a John G. Lake if there had not been an awesome God that stood behind his people. There would have never been a Wales revival. There would have never been a revival in the New Hebrides. There would have never been those revivals if there had not been an awesome God. And tonight, hallelujah, God wants to give us revival, and God wants to stretch out his arm if we will only ask him, if we will only believe him. Hallelujah. Have you seen the arm of the Lord? Have you seen his arm? Have you seen it? Because God has it, and it's ready for us. So here we have it in Deuteronomy. The awesome thing about Deuteronomy is this. It's hidden from us because we call it Deuteronomy, but it's really the second law. And what does the second law mean? It literally means, in the Hebrew, a second reading or a second rehearsal. Now, God gave his law the first time. He gave it the first time to a people that were delivered from Egyptian bondage. He gave them to people that were slaves in their sin, and he set them free and brought them out with relationship. But God gave them Deuteronomy because that's the second reading, and now the first generation is gone, and the people are getting ready to enter over into Canaan land. The first generation failed, and where the first generation failed, the second one would succeed. But I believe the book of Deuteronomy makes it totally plain that not only must the first generation have it, but the second generation that is going to pass into the promises of God must have that relationship as well. They are the covenant people as well. And my point is this, that God has brought us into his glory, and God's brought us out. I believe with all my heart that we are living in the last generation. You young ladies are the last generation. We're living in the final day. And God is going to read out that word again and give us a fresh word. And there is a fresh relationship for a fresh people that are going to enter into Canaan. Hallelujah. Do I believe in the rapture? I absolutely do. And I believe with that rapture, God's going to let us call his bride in. And my prayer is this, Lord, let us reap the harvest like we've never reaped it before. Help us to call in the sheep that have been left astray. Oh God, stretch out your mighty arm in Jesus' name and allow us to achieve all that you promised us. Can somebody say amen? Our identity belongs to God. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 34, it says this, has my God ever attempted to go take a nation for himself with a mighty hand and a stretched out arm? And I want to say this, young folks, you are God's treasured possession. And this arm of the Lord that I'm talking about happens because of relationship. You're God's special treasured possession. God has called you. God has chosen you. You're in this house tonight, and God's been dealing with you about something, a deeper walk, a deeper level of dedication to worship God in his glory and allow God to pull you into a baptism of the Spirit that you've never, ever known before. Oh, hallelujah. And I know and believe that God is doing that right here tonight. And I know this revival coming up with Brother Rich is going to be wonderful. And in fact, I plan to come. But I'm going to tell you all tonight in Jesus' name, that there's a stretched out arm of God. God called his people their treasured possession. You are God's treasured possession. God has called you. You are his covenant people. And don't let anyone make you believe any different. And God, through his stretched out arm and his makes you his peculiar possession. He's called you out, and you'll never be the same because of his call. Can somebody say amen? We'll never be the same because of his call. So all these passages of Scripture in the Old Testament refer to that arm. Psalms 136 talks about the stretched out arm. And in Psalm 136, it refers to the stretched out arm as God's steadfast love. Isaiah 52, the Bible says, the Lord makes bare his holy arm. Jeremiah 32:21, it says, I have brought them out
with signs and wonders and with a stretched out arm. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse number 33 and 34 reveals God as king, and he stretches out his arm and reveals him as king. And in the passage here, in Isaiah 53, God speaks to his chosen people, and he says, "Who hath believed our report, and who is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who has seen God's arm?" I believe we are called as people to tell not only our generation, but the next generation what God has done for us. Because there will be and there must be a holy succession of power that comes down from the throne of God and enables us, Pastor Jarvis, on this final mission field to reap in the harvest. And my prayer is, oh God, help me reap the harvest. And it may be that while I'm reaping over here, that God will reap over there for my family. That God will reach out to my folks over here. That God will reach over here and do that. Listen, folks, we don't know everything that God has planned for you. But one thing we do know is that God has called us to be his people. And if we will be his covenant people, God will stretch out his arm on our behalf. On our behalf. This passage of scripture is very unique. The biblical imagery here is really encouraging because it's God's, number one, it's God's deliberate action. It's God's unmatched power. And it's God's divine strength. It's his divine justice in judging Egypt. And it's God's and the pride of Pharaoh. But in the midst of that divine judgment, it also speaks of God saving his people and also talks about his redeeming power that God can and will continue to deliver and will help his people, and he has not turned his back on us. We're here 2 days after the great tornado, it'll be called, of 2025 in London. I'm telling you, we're on the eve. We're passed through the tragedy. We're on the eve of what could be a great revival in this city. And I'm looking for God to stretch out his arm and to gather in those who are not saved. And the phone call that the pastor received this afternoon is evidence that God is trying to shake us up, and God is going to bring us out, and God is going to deliver us in strength. God's going to deliver us in power. God's going to move his arm if we'll trust him. If we'll trust him. Now this passage here in Exodus chapter 6 and verse 6, it's a key passage. And it's a key passage of the Passover meal that the Jews celebrate, the Jewish people celebrate. And the first one, the first promise that God gives them on the eve of the Passover is, "I will bring you. I will bring you." The Jewish people call this the cup of sanctification. And so he sets them apart. You see, whenever God brings us closer in relationship, it's always sanctification. We've taken sanctification and make it something we do. When all here, the cup of sanctification is what God does. We take it as one thing, God takes it to another. God says, "I will bring you." They said, that's God saying, "I've sanctified you. I've set you apart." And if God's placed his call on your life, my Lord have mercy. I'm just about to fly apart up here, brother. I'm about to fly apart. This message may be for me because I need God to stretch out his arm for our family tonight. I said, I need the Holy Father to stretch out his arm for us tonight. Woo, hallelujah. Let's raise our hands and praise the Lord tonight. Let's praise him, for his mercy endureth forever. His unfailing love is forever. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb. So God sets them apart and he says, "I'll bring you," and that's the cup of sanctification. The second cup in the Passover meal is the cup of deliverance. And he said, "I will bring you, I will deliver you." And so he's saying, what's he saying? I'm going to deliver you from slavery. You're going to escape judgment. You're going to escape everything that comes upon this world. I'm going to deliver you. How many feel like you need God's deliverance in this last day? Folks, we need it. We need God's deliverance so bad. Listen, Then there's the third cup, and this is where Jesus stopped. In the Passover meal in the book of John, when he said, I will not take the next cup until I take it with you again. This was the last cup Jesus took before the cross. And it's the cup of redemption, and it says, I will redeem you. So as they were taking the four cups of the Passover or the Seder meal, the last cup Jesus would take is the cup of redemption when he says, I will redeem you. What does that mean? That means he has taken you and he has paid the price for you, and you are not the person you used to be. I'll tell you how valuable you are tonight. You're just as valuable as the blood of Jesus, because he shed every drop of his blood for you. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. He shed every drop for you. So he has taken us and redeemed us. And this is the cup we're getting ready to celebrate as I close tonight. In the fourth cup, he said, I'm not going to take this next cup. And the fourth cup is the cup of acceptance. And me and my premillennial theology, brother, the cup I will take you, I'm calling it the cup of the rapture or the cup of revival, because he accepts us. He accepts us. So he says this in this passage in chapter 6. He said, I will take you. And I see that as a promise of the revival that's going to happen before Jesus comes. And I want to ask you tonight, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The arm of the Lord propels his people to do things they've never, ever thought about accomplishing before. The arm of the Lord is stretched out over his people to set them apart of everything from who they were, and bring them into a part of what he wants them to be. The arm of the Lord is for his people to do wonders and miracles among you. Are you willing to see his arm? I'm willing, folks. I want his arm. I want his arm to be revealed. I want his arm to be revealed. I want revival. I want to see souls saved. I want to see the lost come in. I want to see my family come in. Tonight, if you're here, and you need a particular miracle, I want you to stand with me tonight. And I want you to ask the Lord, as we come, I want you to ask the Lord to make bare his holy arm in your situation. Have you seen it? Can you tell us about it? Can you tell us how God brought you out of that vehicle accident? Can you talk about it? Yes, you can. The Holy Spirit's here tonight. I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight in our midst. And I'm asking you, if you will, to ask God to reveal his arm, not just to you, but through you. But through you. God, do it. Let's stand all together, all over the house. God's called London First Pentecostal Church. You've been a church that sins. Oh my. Oh my. What God has done here. How God has used this church to help send. I'm going to tell you, based on experience, God sent us places I never thought we'd go. I never dreamed we'd go. But God has used you to send. And I believe right now that God wants to gather for you. I said, God wants to gather. We have a harvest to reap. We have a harvest to reap right here. And it's time for us to believe in God's stretched out arm. Will you agree with me tonight? And everyone across this congregation, would you step out by faith? And step forward and say, God, I will need your arm revealed to me and my family. I know Sister Regina and I, we need God. We need God's stretched out arm. I stand here before you tonight, humble, asking God to reveal his arm to our family. You need that in yours? Why don't you join me tonight? Why don't you step out by faith? Let's gather in, folks, as a family. Let's ask God to reveal his arm. We can't make it without a miracle. Sister Mary Miracle needs a miracle tonight. Let's pray for her. Let's pray for all these potential miracles we have here. We believe tonight. We trust the Lord. We need God to move. We need revival, oh God, we need revival. We need your acceptance, oh God. We need you to take us and propel us where we've never been. Reveal your arm to us tonight. Touch us by your grace. Fill us with your power. In Jesus' mighty name.